Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by for Li Auto's second quarter 2023 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Today's conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to your host, Janet Zhang, Investor Relations Director of Li Auto. Please go ahead, Janet.
Thank you, Sarah. Good evening and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Li Auto's second quarter 2023 earnings conference call. The company's financial and operating results were published in a press release earlier today and are posted on the company's IR website. On today's call, we have our Chairman and CEO, Mr. Xiang Li, and our CFO, Mr. Johnny Tie Li, begin with prepared remarks. Our President, Mr. Donghui Ma, and other senior management will join for the Q&A discussion. Before we continue, please be reminded that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, the company's actual results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding risks and uncertainties is included in certain filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission and the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The company does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Please also note that Li Auto's earnings press release and this conference call include discussions of unaudited GAAP financial information as well as unaudited non-GAAP financial matters. Please refer to Li Auto's disclosure documents on the IR section of our website, which contain a reconciliation of the unaudited non-GAAP measures to comparable GAAP measures. Our CEO will start his remarks in Chinese. There will be English translation after he finishes all his remarks. With that, I will now turn the call over to our CEO, Mr. Xiang Li. Please go ahead.
大家好，我是李翔。 欢迎各位参加今天的业绩电话会议。关于交付量和近期的状况，2023年二季度，理想汽车实现了多个交付里程碑，6月完成了3万辆的月交付，第二季度总共交付了超过8万6千辆，是去年同期的3倍。今年上半年的交付量也超过了2022年的全年总和。7月初，我们交付了第40万辆理想汽车，自2019年12月正式交付以来，历经24个月。 成为了国内最快达到40万辆交付的造车新势力，其中第30万辆交付到第40万辆交付用了不到4个月，我们7月的交付量也再创新高，超过了3.4万辆，累计交付突破了43万辆。得益于我们强大的产品力以及组织流程和经营能力的全面提升，理想 L 系列的三款车型均在各自细分市场保持销量领先，自去年6月相继发布以来。 累计交付已经超过了20万辆。根据中汽数据显示，二季度理想 L7 蝉联30万以上中大型 SUV 销量冠军，理想 L8 仍然是30万以上六座 SUV 的首选，理想 L9 继续领跑全尺寸 SUV 销量榜首。理想汽车成为中国市场销量最高的中国豪华品牌，我们在中国20万以上新能源汽车品牌销量保持前三，市占率从一季度的 约11%提升到二季度的14%，在交付增长和更好的运营能力的推动下，我们的财务表现也持续进步。二季度公司的收入、净利润和自由现金流等多项财务数据均创下历史记录，总收入达到了286.5亿元人民币，同比增长228.1%，净利润。 然后达到了23.1亿人民币，自由现金流更是达到了96.2亿元人民币。相信理想汽车出色的自我造血能力和充裕在手的现金，可以坚定的支持我们不遗余力的投入研发、招揽人才、加速业务扩张、建立长期的竞争壁垒。今年三季度，预计理想汽车的交付量可以超过10万辆。今年全年。 我们有信心超出年初内部制定的全年交付目标10%到20%，突破1000亿人民币的全年营收。现在今年年底冲击4万辆月交付的里程碑，为支持交付， 我们将持续增强产供销协同能力，持续提升生产能力，通过优化供应链管理策略，升级管理流程，提升供应能力。在智能驾驶方面，今年我们取得了飞速进展。我们于2023年6月在北京最复杂的路况望京路段开启了中国首个不依赖于高精地图的城市 OA 和通勤 OA 的试驾，并向北京和上海的早鸟用户推送了城市 NOA 功能。在感知方面，通过创新的 NPN 特征和 TNN 网络增强 BEV 模型，实时感知复杂道路结构，理解交通规则，通过占用网络识别各种障碍物。同时在规控算法方面，使用模仿学习做出更像人类驾驶员的判断。试驾用户和媒体对理想 AD Max 展现的驾驶安全感、驾驶效率和舒适性等方面给予高度评价。下半年我们会开放城市 NOA 和通勤 NOA 给更多早鸟用户，将城市智能驾驶普及给更多家庭。与此同时，用户也愈发习惯于享受高速 NOA 带来的旅程中的轻松与便捷。截至目前，我们为超过38万家庭用户提供高速 NOA 功能，高速 NOA 里程超过了 2.3 亿公里。纯电车型方面，我们在2023年6月的理想汽车首个家庭科技日介绍了800伏高压快充解决方案，对高压纯电车型的电池和宽温域的电池热管理系统进行了优化，更加充分地利用电池的 5C 充电倍率，实现峰值500千瓦以上的充电功率，充电12分钟即可以续航500公里。配合理想汽车自建的 5C 超级充电网络，让理想汽车纯电车主的补能体验也非常接近燃油车。我们的首款 5C 纯电超级旗舰车型理想 Mega 将于今年年底发布，我们有信心理想 Mega 将成为50万以上销量第一的新爆品。同时我们也在积极的布局 5C 超级充电网络，截止目前理想汽车已经在全国建立并运营37座理想 5C 超级充电站，我们将加快基础网络的建设，目标于今年年底建成超过300座，25年底建成超过3000座理想 5C 超级充电站，为理想汽车纯电车主提供快速可靠的充电体验。我们坚信以大电池和高效率增程为核心的增程技术，以及真正解决充电速度慢和长途充电难的高压纯电技术，两条路线并行，是大规模替代燃油车的最佳解决方案。在销售和服务方面，为支持销量的快速提升，我们加速拓展升级线上线下一体的直营销售和服务网络。在购物中心开设商场店的同时，我们增加了汽车销售园区的中心店占比，以及满足不同用户的购车习惯和需求，进一步提高获客流量和订单转化率。二季度我们新增流程中心32家，通过换址或扩大面积升级18家现有门店。截止2023年7月31日，理想汽车全国已有337家零售中心，覆盖128个城市，售后维修中心及售前百分中心323家，覆盖了222个城市。面向将来，我们将持续以不断成长为核心的动力，持续学习，持续训练，打磨我们最重要的两大产品，服务于家庭用户的智能电动车和服务于内部员工的流程组织，更好地支持理想汽车从一到十的发展。下面有请我们的 CFO 李铁为大家详细介绍我们的财务表现。
In the second quarter of 2023, we reached multiple milestones in deliveries. We delivered over 30,000 vehicles in June, taking our second quarter deliveries to 86,533 vehicles, tripling the volume from the same period last year. We delivered more vehicles in the first half of this year than all of 2022.Furthermore, in early July, we delivered our 400,000th Li Auto vehicle, taking just 42 months to reach this important milestone since we commenced deliveries in December 2019, setting a record for Chinese emerging NEV OEMs. Going from 300,000 cumulative deliveries to 400,000 took less than 4 months. Finally, our July deliveries hit a new high of 34,134 units.bringing our total cumulative vehicle deliveries over 430,000. With our strong product lineup and comprehensive improvements, organizational processes, and operating capabilities, our three models continue to lead in their respective market segments, with cumulative deliveries exceeding 200,000 units since their successive launches starting in June last year. According to the insurance registration data of China Automotive Technology and Research Center, in this past quarter, Li L7 consistently topped China's large SUV monthly sales chart. The L8 also remained customers' favorite six-seater SUV priced over RMB 300,000. The L9 continued to dominate the full-size SUV sales chart in China. Li Auto has the highest sales among domestic premium automotive brands in China, and we remain one of the top three NEV brands priced over 200,000 RMB in China, with market share increasing from approximately 11% in the first quarter to about 14% in the second quarter. Driven by our delivery growth and stronger operational capabilities, our financial performance continued to improve. In the second quarter, the company achieved record-breaking results across revenue, net income, and free cash flow. During the quarter, our revenue reached RMB 28.65 billion, up 228.1% year-over-year, while net income and free cash flow increased from RMB 2.31 billion and RMB 9.62 billion, respectively. We're confident that our outstanding cash generation capability and ample cash reserve will support our unwavering commitment to invest in R&D, business expansion, and building long-term competitive barriers. We expect our third quarter deliveries to be between 100,000 to 103,000 units. For the full year 2023, we're confident to beat the internal delivery target we set at the beginning of this year by 10 to 20%, but annual revenue exceeding RMB 100 billion. We aim to hit the 40,000 monthly delivery milestone by the end of this year. To achieve our delivery target, we will continue to foster coordination across production, supply chain, and sales, while continuing to expand production capacity, enhance supply chain management processes and capabilities. We made rapid progress in autonomous driving this year. In June 2023, we started test drives for China's first NOA and commute NOA, which do not rely on high-definition maps in Wangjing, known as one of the most complicated traffic zones in Beijing. We also rolled out our city NOA to early bird users in Beijing and Shanghai. On the perception front, we use BEV models enhanced by innovative NPN features and TIN network to perceive complex road structures in real time and comprehend traffic rules. While utilizing occupancy network to identify common obstacles, we also utilize imitation learning in control algorithms to make judgments more akin to human drivers. Test drivers and media have spoken highly of driving safety, efficiency, and comfort demonstrated by Li Auto 80 Max. In the second half of 2023, we will continue to release City NOA and Commute NOA to more early bird users, bringing city-level autonomous driving to more families. Meanwhile, users are increasingly accustomed to the convenience and ease of highway NOA during their journey. As of today, we have provided highway NOA to over 380,000 families, covering more than 230 million kilometers. With respect to BEV models, we introduced our 800-volt high-power charging solution at our first-ever Family Tech Day in June 2023. With optimized battery and thermal management systems, our BEVs can fully leverage the battery's 5C charging rate, with peak charging power of over 500 kilowatts and 500 kilometers of driving range from a 12-minute charge. In conjunction with our own 5C charging network, our BEV can offer a very comparable energy replenishment experience to ICE vehicles. We will unveil our super flagship 5C BEV, Li Mega, by the end of this year, and we're confident that it will emerge as the new top seller among all vehicles priced over RMB 500,000. Meanwhile, we're actively deploying our 5C supercharging network. As of now, we have built and commenced operation of 37 Li Auto 5C supercharging stations. Going forward,
will accelerate the rollout, aiming to establish over 300 5C supercharging stations by the end of this year and over 3,000 by the end of 2025 to offer our BEV users a fast and reliable charging experience. We firmly believe our dual energy strategy is the best solution to replacing ICE vehicles at scale. The dual energy strategy composes of EREV technologies that center on high capacity batteries and highly efficient range extenders, as well as a high voltage BEV technology that can truly address pain points in charging speed and charging on long trips. To support the rapid sales growth, we accelerated the expansion and upgrade of our internal integrated online and offline direct sales and servicing network. While we continue to open online retail stores in shopping malls, we have increased the proportion of our retail stores located in automotive retail parks to cater to different users' purchasing habits and needs, further improving user acquisition and sales conversion. In the second quarter, we opened 32 new retail stores and upgraded 18 existing stores through relocation and expansion. As of July 31st, 2023, we operated 337 retail stores in 128 cities, as well as 323 service centers and Li Auto authorized body and paint shops operating in 222 cities. Looking ahead, driven by our pursuit of continuous growth, and we will relentlessly explore, train, and learn to refine our two most critical products, namely our smart electric vehicles for family users and organizational processes to serve our internal talents and teams, better supporting our trip journey from 1 to 10. With that, I will turn it over to our CFO, Johnny, for a closer look at our financial performance.
Thank you, Li Xiang. Hello, everyone. I will now walk you through some of our 2023 second quarter financials. Due to time constraints, I will address financial highlights here and encourage you to refer to our earnings press release for further details. Total revenues in the second quarter of 2023 were RMB 28.65 billion. Or $3.95 billion, increasing 228.1% year over year and 52.5% quarter over quarter. This included RMB 27.97 billion or $3.86 billion from vehicle sales, which was up 229.7% year over year and 22.6% quarter over quarter. The year over year increase was mainly due to the increased vehicle deliveries. The quarter over quarter increase was mainly due to the increase in vehicle deliveries, partially offset by the lower average selling price as a result of different product mix between the two quarters. Revenues from other sales and services were RMB 680.8 million or $93.9 million in the second quarter of 2023, growing 173.4% year over year and 48.1% quarter over quarter. The increase was mainly due to the increase of sales of accessories and provision of services in line with higher accumulated vehicle sales, as well as increased sales of charging stores in line with higher vehicle deliveries. Cost of sales in the second quarter of this year was RMB 22.42 billion or $3.09 billion. Up 227.1% year over year and 49.9% quarter over quarter. Gross profit in the second quarter of this year was RMB 6.24 billion or $859.9 million, growing 232% and 62.8% compared with the second quarter of 2022 and the first quarter of this year. Vehicle margin in the second quarter of 2023 was 21%, compared with 21.2% in the second quarter of last year, and 19.8% in the first quarter of 2023. Excluding the impact of Li One, the vehicle margin of the Li series, Li L series, remained stable over the first quarter of 2023. Gross margin in the second quarter of 2023 was 21.8%, compared with 21.5% in the second quarter of 2022, and 20.4% in the first quarter of 2023. Operating expenses in the second quarter of 2023 were RMB 4.61 billion, or $635.7 million, growing 61.4% year-over-year and 34.6% quarter-over-quarter. Research and development expenses in the second quarter of 2023 were RMB 2.43 billion or $334.5 million, up 58.4% year-over-year and 31% quarter-over-quarter. The increase was primarily driven by increased employee compensation as a result of our growing number of staff, as well as increased expenses to support our product portfolio expansion and technology advancements. Citing general and administrative expenses, in the second quarter of 2023 were RMB 2.31 billion or $318.5 million, up 74.3% year-over-year and 40.4% quarter-over-quarter. The increase was mainly driven by increased employee compensation as a result of our growing number of staff, as well as increased rental expenses associated with our sales and service network expansion. Income from operations in the second quarter of 2023 was RMB 1.63 billion or $224.2 million, compared with RMB 978.5 million loss from operations in the second quarter of last year, and growing 301.3% from RMB 405.2 million income from operations in the first quarter of this year. Net income in the second quarter of 2023 was RMB 2.31 billion or $318.6 million, compared with $641 million net loss in the second quarter of last year, and more than doubled the RMB 933.8 million net income in the first quarter of 2023. Turning to our balance sheet and cash flow, our balance of cash and cash equivalents, restricted cash, time deposits, and short-term investments totaled RMB 73.77 billion or $10.17 billion as of June 30, 2023. Net cash provided by operating activities in the second quarter of 2023 was RMB 11.11 billion or $1.53 billion. Free cash flow was RMB 9.62 billion or $1.33 billion in the second quarter of 2023. And now for our business outlook. For the third quarter of 2023, the company expects the deliveries to be between 100,000 and 103,000 vehicles, representing an increase of 277% to 288.3% from the third quarter of 2022. The company also expects the third quarter total revenues to be between RMB 32.33 billion and RMB 33.3 billion or $4.46 billion US dollars and $4.59 billion US dollars, representing an increase of 246% to 256.4% from the third quarter of last year. This business outlook reflects the company's current and preliminary view on its business situation and market condition, which is subject to change. That concludes our prepared remarks. I will now turn the call over to the operator to start our Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. For the benefit of all participants on today's call, please limit yourself to 2 questions. And if you have additional questions, you can re-enter the queue. If you are a Mandarin speaker, please ask your question in Chinese first, then follow with English translation. Our first question comes from Tim Hsiao with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
各位管理层好，感谢接受我的提问，也恭喜亮眼的这个二季度业绩表现。我这边两个问题第一个问题是有关于这个汽车的销售跟交付，因为刚才其实也提到这三季度可能10万出头的一个交付量，这样的一个指引呢，其实表示这个产能瓶颈，如同这个李强总之前分享的讯息基本上短期可能是无解。那能否了解一下，就是造成目前这个生产瓶颈的主要原因为何？是整车生产零部件还是什么样的一个特别的原因？那我们对于四季度刚才也提到，就是说还是有一定的期待啊。那四季度去产能去瓶颈，或者平均月交付上升到40,000，现在究竟有多少这个能见度？那这样的问题呢，我们怎么去看待后续基于新平台、新工厂生产的这个纯电车型？那到时候交付的时候，是不是也会有相同的问题，我们需要去克服？好 ，So my first question is about the vehicle delivery because the auto's third quarter volume guidance.Of around 100,000 implies the vehicle supply constraints will persist throughout the whole quarter. So could you please elaborate a bit more about the key bottleneck to our production? Is that due to supply constraint of any specific component or anything else? And how confident are you in the company's ability to remove the bottleneck and to deliver like around 40,000 units per month in fourth quarter?And in the meantime, should we be concerned about a similar challenge might relapse when launching the BEV models on the new platform and at the new plant? That's my first question. Thank you.
好，那个谢谢题目。我是理想汽车马东辉，我来回答的话关于产能的问题。那现在的话，我们在常州制造基地有两条产线，用来生产的话 L7、L8、L9。单纯的话从整车这个产能来说的话，如果是双班，我们最大的话每个月可以达到50,000台。那目前的话主要瓶颈的话还是在零部件的供应。那一方面的话是因为今年公司的话销量比较好，那相比年初制定的目标需求还是有提升的。那虽然是说我们在 Q2 已经制定了提升的策略和规划，但是需要一段时间的。那目前的话零部件的产线和工装还在调试和验证当中，还需要一点准备时间，但是很快就可以释放出新的产能。 我们还是有很强的信心，今年全年是可以达到制定的一个销量目标。然后另外的话，针对于24年和25年，我们也提前做好了产能的一个规划和准备。谢谢。
First, I'll take the question on production capacity. We currently operate two production lines in Changzhou for L8 and L9 and L7. The total capacity, if we run it at two shifts, is around 50,000 units per month. The current bottleneck is still with component supply, mostly because of a very strong demand for this year, which led us to increase our target compared to what we set at the beginning of the year. To cope with the additional demand, we actually have a production expansion plan made in Q2, but it's taken some time for us to test the production lines and verify those. So the new capacity will be released in due time. We are still confident that on an annual basis, we will be able to reach our delivery targets. And in addition, to prepare for our growth in 24 and 25, we have started early to make production and capacity plans to satisfy the needs for those 2 years.
明白。那我第二个问题是有关于这个组织的变革，因为过去十二个月我们看到产业里面有许多新能源车的这个同业进行组织的调整，然后期间也遭遇了很多这个人员的变动。那我们印象中就是理想汽车去年底也提出了公司矩阵型组织的一个变革，那是不是能够请管理层分享一下就是组织这个变革的进展的一个最新的情况，那以及在未来六到十个月随着公司组织的调整呢，是否也会有相应的一些管理团队的异动或优化，那另外我们怎么从接下来几个季度比较量化运营跟财务指标去判断这个变革一个实际的贡献，比如说降本增效，比如说毛利提升，或者新产品的这个迭代加速。So my second question is about the organization restructure, because we noticed that over the past 12 months, quite a lot of EV industry peers have gone through organization restructure or had management reshuffle. We recall that Li Auto also announced organization upgrade last December to prepare for its future growth. So could you share with us the latest progress of the restructuring efforts, and should we expect any changes to the management team in the next 6 to 12 months amid such upgrade? And in the meantime, any operational or financial metrics could we monitor more closely to quantify the improvement, for example, the lower cost, higher margin, or faster model upgrades in upcoming quarters? So that's my second question. Thank you.
好的，那我是李想，我来回答这个问题。那对于矩阵组织的升级，我们今年投入了大量的资源和人力，业务团队然后为今年制定了36万辆的交付目标。但是在年初，
我们考虑到这个经济形势，然后疫情后的经济形势的问题，然后另外一方面也考虑到之前我们参考的成功企业在组织变革的时候当然会带来企业2到3年的停滞增长，所以呢我们下调了目标，然后为30万辆的交付。但是上半年 总结一下，产品升级给我们带来效益，组织升级给我们带来效率。
Our next question comes from Ben Wang with Credit Suisse.
Operator, can you hear us? Sorry, we have some technical problems.
Hi, yes, you're coming through.
To translate the previous question, answer the previous question, on the matrix organization upgrade is something we have invested a significant amount of resources and manpower. Our business team at the beginning of the year had set an annual delivery target of 360,000 units. But considering two factors, we had in fact earlier this year downgraded the target to 300,000 units. One is the overall economic environment, and the other is considering many of the enterprises, while they are carrying out organization upgrades, their growth in fact had stagnated for 2 to 3 years. However, in hindsight, the actual results from the first half of this year, our operating efficiency has not only not declined, but actually we actually saw a very significant increase. We have beaten our target every single month, and the overall coordination and cooperation efficiency is very high. The benefits from a organizational upgrade has significantly exceeded our expectations. The organizational upgrade has really allowed us to fight a trench wars as an army group in the smart electric vehicle industry, which is known for having very long product cycles and long value chains. Once we have achieved certain milestones in terms of market share, we are able to defend it very steadily and continue to build on top of it. So we can see, as a result, we have displayed a very steady growth curve over this first half, but also the second half of this year. And that is the real benefit of our organizational upgrade. In terms of the matrix organization, there are really three types of specific benefits. First of all, from our what we describe ourselves as a guerrilla in our early days to being a formal armed forces, the company is really building highways for its core businesses so that every person can on the value chain can run very efficiently. Even though there are more traffic rules on highways, overall the efficiency of highways is much higher and there are much fewer accidents. And secondly, the organizational upgrade has allowed us to build a very robust training structure for our employees and business practices. The working mechanism is very similar to artificial intelligence, from perception and observations to setting goals and planning its activities, and finally to execution and collaboration, and after action reviews to really build it in as the company's capability. So even for a fresh graduate, he or she doesn't need to start as a business assistant, but rather can really get into real battles and grow quickly. And thirdly is what we call interlocking, and it's really a contractual relationship between our different teams and talents. Compared to the OKR mechanism, our matrix organization changed what we used to call alignment to interlocking, which is essentially a contract between teams and our different individuals. So when people set their goals, they can challenge each other, and when they execute, they can work very closely and collaborate to deliver the best results. And so the change, by going from alignment to interlocking, we're really setting a contract between the different teams, and the targets become more and more challenging, but we're able to achieve these targets with higher and higher confidence. So overall, we believe that the most critical ingredient to a successful organizational upgrade is great culture, which includes putting customers' value first, taking the right path but not the easy path, and building everything on collaboration which is our core value. The organization and process is really the best product that we can build for our employees. It's simple yet sophisticated, and it brings the best practices from each business area and build them into products so that the organization can grow along the way. So without great culture, the business processes are going to be rigid and complicated. So this is the biggest learnings from upgrading our matrix organization and processes. So basically, product upgrades bring more margins or value to the company, and organizational upgrades bring more efficiency for the company.
谢谢香总跟东辉总，谢谢。
Our next question comes from Ben Yang with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
谢谢各位领导，非常好的业绩。我有两个问题，第一个是关于利润率的，想问问看，在下半年呢，没有了这个理想 One， 然后销量在更大规模的时候，我们看到三季度跟四季度的毛利率会有怎样的走势？因为之前公司有提到，就理想 One 降低了2点毛利率嘛，我们是否可以假设在三季度、四季度这个利润率会超过23？因为您有2个点的上升，这是第一个问题。第二个问题呢是关于自动驾驶的。 我想问问看公司在什么时候可以结束早鸟计划，使得这个自动驾驶可以在每一个消费者得以在买车的时候就可以实现，以及具体的时间，应该在2024年的某个季度，能不能具体这样看我们的规划？那我英语翻译一下。My I got two questions. Number one is about the margin. What's your outlook in the third quarter and the number four quarter this year? Because previously you guided the Li One has been jacked down about 2% gross margin. Now you have a better volume in the second half this year. Can I assume the second half margin will be above 23%, increased by 2%? That's the number one question about the margin. And second thing about the self-driving technology. Right now you're doing the early bird program for some customers. Can I know when the self-driving can roll out to every single car buyer when they purchase the car they can enjoy? So do you have a timetable to share for 2024? Thank you.
Hi, Wami. This is Johnny from the company. Our second quarter gross margin has reflect our sales and marketing team's effort. So you can see the improved SG&A percentage as the total revenue, and also some positive improvement on the bottom line from our supply chain team. And we will continue to improve on that, but for the whole year, because we still got 6 months, 5 months to the end, so we still want to keep the whole year's gross margin guidance just above 20%. Yeah. Thank you.
我来回答一下关于自动驾驶的这个问题，我是马东辉。那个理想汽车的城市和通勤 OA 的话，我们还会按照之前既定的计划分批进行的话开放。那开放的话，这个逻辑跟顺序的话，很大程度上还是决定当地理想汽车的保有量。如果是说这个量越多，那行驶里程数越多，和自动驾驶相关的测试数据就会多。 那这个城市就有可能更早的开放出来。那另外的话，还会取决于说，在这个城市当中复杂路口的这个 NPN 特征的一个完成情况。那我们现在已经开放了一些找鸟用户，那随着的话，这些找鸟用户的加入，那我们开放的城市啊会逐渐的话这个增加。那目前总体来说的话，开发和测试的进展还是比较顺利的。那在6月份的话，是在北京望京，那开启了中国首个不依赖 这个高精度地图城市的NOA试驾，然后并且也大规模开展了这个媒体试驾。在7月份，刚刚过去的7月份呢，在北京、上海两个城市，我们也开放了找鸟用户，然后用户对于我们整个这个智能驾驶 NOA 的这个舒适性和安全性还是给予了非常高的一个反馈啊。那基于的话，这个大模型全面的话落地智能驾驶，那我们是有信心在明年 能够把城市和高速的话，这个全部进行打通，进行的话全程开放。 那目前的话，这个研发和测试啊，还是在这个加速当中。
On city NOA and commute NOA, we will continue our original plan to roll them out in batches in different cities. And the rollout plan is going to be largely based on the number of vehicles or owners in the specific cities. The more owners, the more mileage accumulated, the more test data, the more likely the cities will get city NOA and commute NOA early. In addition to that, we're also taking into consideration the end-to-end features of complex intersections in those cities and the amount of data coverage that we have. So as more and more early bird users join into our pilot program, we'll be opening up our NOA features in more cities. Overall, the development and testing for NOA features are going on track. And in June 2023, we've offered test drive of our city NOA in Wangjing, which is known as one of the most complicated traffic zones in Beijing, using the first China's first NOA city NOA solution that doesn't rely on high definition maps. And media gave very nice reviews about the features. In July, in Beijing and Shanghai, we've opened up city NOA to early bird users, and users spoke very highly of the comfort and safety of our solution. And this year, we will be releasing our city NOA and commute NOA for large-scale testing, and the plan to release it in 100 cities remains unchanged. Internally, we're continuing to accelerate the R&D and testing of our city NOA solution.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Yingbo Xu with Nick, please go ahead. 感谢管理层，我有两个问题。那第一个呢，是跟三季度的这个销量展望相关。我们看到七月份的这个实际销量是在34,000，那么三季度的展望是在100,000到100,300，这样看的话，后面可能八九月份都在3万辆左右，而我们另外一个预期呢，是在四季度达到月销4万。所以我的第一个问题是想问一下，关于三季度的销量弹性，以及后面我们的这个月销的一个进展，是指在四季度初还是四季度末，会达到一个4万辆的一个水平？那这是第一个关于销量展望的问题。那第二个呢，就是我们看到在这个家庭科技日的时候，我们就是推出了这个计划推出这个 MINI GPT，市场也关注度很高。我想问一下，目前这个MINI GPT的一个进展，以及可能作为消费者，大概什么时候有机会能够体验到MINI GPT的这样一个应用？I have two questions. The first one is about the third quarter sales. How do we see the sales elasticity for the third quarter expectation? My second question is about MINI GPT. Could you give us more color about how MINI GPT going? Thank you.
我先说吧，我理想，对，然后目前给出来销量指引确实是三季度产能的极限，对，然后四季度产能提升后实现4万辆的月交付目标，我觉得没有任何问题，对，我觉得还有一个很重要的一点。其实我们是有信心在2024年提前挑战奔驰、宝马、奥迪在中国区的销量。对，我们在2024年将努力成为销量第一的豪华品牌。
First of all, on guidance, the guidance we've given earlier today is really built around our production capacity, the maximum of our production boundaries for Q3. For Q4, with increased production capacity, we'll be able to reach or surpass the 40,000. Per month mark. And another important point to note is we're very confident that we will be able to challenge the leadership position of Mercedes, BMW, and Audi in China, meaning that we'll exceed their sales in China and become the top-selling luxury brand in China.
我是马东辉，我来回答一下MINI GPT的这个问题。我们在6月份家庭科技日发布了自研的认知大模型MINI GPT。 那从研发上来说的话，我们是具备了全栈自研能力。那从研发整个结构上来说的话，是分4部分，数据，还有大模型的话，训练算法，评估和安全，还有的话这个应用交付。那在大模型训练算法流程方面的话，跟行业主流的话是一致的。 包含的话基座的话这个模型训练。 那发布会的话，我们也提到了，我们是使用了1.3万亿的 token 进行的话这个基础模型训练。那我们在此基础之上，为了确保这个MAT GTP 的知识的准确性和个性化的能力，我们还增加了搜索和推荐的这个自研能力。那目前的话，第一个版本的话，我们是采用了160亿个参数，基于的话自研基座模型，然后可以更好的话贴合我们的用户，提升。 这个理想同学对话式交互的这样的一个效果，那最终的话会形成的话，一系列的话产品，它可以让理想同学成为家庭当中的一个成员，也可以成为的话这个车辆的专家或者是因材施教的老师。那目前进展的话，我们在未来几个月的话会分享更加详细的整个 MAT GTP 智能空间的话一个进展。 那目前的话已经启动了这个公司内部的话一个测试，那测试通过之后的话，会通过 OTA 的话释放给少量的话装置用户。
Second question on MindGPT. In terms of technology, we released our internal big model MindGPT, and we have since built a full stack in-house development capability of large language models. And the R&D really falls into four areas. First is data, and second is big model training algorithms, and third is assessment and security, and lastly, application deliveries. On the training algorithm front, we've stayed in line with mainstream algorithms in the industry, including the foundational model training, which utilizes 1.3 billion tokens, and to command fine-tuning and reinforce learning. And in order to make sure that the MyGPT model can have accurate knowledge and be able to personalize based on the users, we've also introduced search and recommendation algorithms, which are also built in-house. MyGPT is out now in version 1, which uses 16 billion parameters. And based on the foundational model, we can better suit the user scenarios of our users and to make Li Xiang Tongxue more interactive with our users. On the product front, the big model-based MindGPT is really going to power our first generation multimodal human-machine interface operating system. And it can allow every single person of our user's family to use AI with ease and make Li Xiang Tongxue a new member of the family, and can be an expert on the car, and can be a teacher, and can be a tour guide, it can be everything. In terms of progress, we'll be sharing more details about the progress of R&D. And so far, we have already opened up MindGPT for internal dog fooding, and after these tests, we'll be releasing the models to a small number of early bird users through OTAs.
好的，非常感谢。The next question comes from Paul Gong with UBS. Please go ahead.
好的，谢谢，接受我的提问。我的第一个问题来说的话是。 我们现在对于这个 Mega 的一个产能的准备以及销量的预期是一个什么样子？目前为止就市场上面的纯电 MPV 的话就是极客009，大约是每个月2000台。我们认为就是这是否给我们提供了一个销量的一个参照？然后在那 Mega 之后的话，我们的一个纯电的。 产品的一个最新的一个规划是一个什么样子的？ So my first question is regarding the Mega, regarding its capacity preparation as well as sales expectation. Does the Zeekr 009, the only pure electric MPV currently in the market, provide a benchmark? And after Mega, what is our latest thought on the product pipeline for the BEV?
好，我来回答这个问题，然后。 就关于 Mega 的销量目标，我们有信心 Mega 是成为50万以上销量第一的产品，不分能源形式，不分车身形式。对，就跟其实我们今天可以看到 R7、R8也会大量从轿车领域获得巨大的市场份额。对，这就是非常有效的增量。对，那
First on Mega's sales target, we're confident that Mega will become the top seller in the market, about 500,000 RMB across all different energy forms and body types, just like we've seen from L7 and L8, which are respective market leaders in their segments. They've also won over market share from sedans and other segments.
那 Mega 之后的那个纯电那一部分能回答一下吗？
对，我们明年的话会发布四款车，会有一款增程的SUV，还会有三款纯电车型，不包含这个 Mega。对，所以具体的产品信息，我觉得我们还是借助我们的这个发布会能够跟大家沟通。
Next year, we're planning to release four vehicles, one range extender vehicle and three pure electric vehicles, not including Mega, which we just talked about. For specific product details, we'll be sharing on our product release next year when the time is appropriate.
好，我第二个问题来说的话，就是现在理想是新势力当中唯一一个不做出口的，但是却有一些那个平行的出口，以一些非正规的一个方式吧，就流入到中亚以及俄罗斯这些地方。那我想问一下，就是现在理想的这个出口的这个情况，以及未来的话，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的扩大这个出口的范围，以及就是说，我们会不会考虑就是进一步的 方。我们能否知道就是说这有多大的一个量，然后我们是否会考虑就是把这种游击队也变成正规军，然后给予一定的支持，以进一步扩大我们的一个销量，以及就是说全球的一个品牌的一个认知度。So the second question is regarding the parallel exports. We realize that there are some informal trading of the Li Auto's products into other countries. How big is this in terms of scale, and do you have any plan to formalize it from guerrilla into formal army and expand our sales volume as well as our global influence of the branding?
Hi, apologies, John. I think we want to, to state again, we won't do any globalization after we become dominant in China, because China is a very big market, as we just mentioned. So the answer is no, we won't do, and also our product is was designed and was available for sale only for China and mainland. So that's basically. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Jing Cheng with CICC. Please go ahead.
好的，感谢，这是我的提问。我这边跟进问两个问题。首先第一个还是关于毛利率。那刚刚也是提及了，就是下半年有一些正面的能够帮助毛利率进一步向上的一些因素。那全年的话，我们仍然还是保持20%的一个毛利率的指引。我们有否看到说可能潜在的一些负面的影响？可能会是哪些？那进一步往24年展望的话，我们整体纯电动车型以及全新的工厂可能会开始投产。因为考虑到目前就是普遍的纯电车型的 margin 是比较低的。我们的这些可能纯电车型是否可以期待说，刚刚开始上市上量就能够获得一个较高的毛利率？有什么比较好的一个方式实现？这是第一个问题。然后第二个问题的话是，我先翻译一下第一个问题吧。A follow up question about gross margin. As Mr. Li Jie just mentioned, some positive factors.On our gross profit margin in the second half of the year, we still maintain the guidance of 20% for the whole year guidance. So is there any potential negative impact we can see, and what might that be? Looking into 2024, our BEV model and the new factory will start to put into operation. So because we can see the current BEV models relatively have a very low gross profit margin,So how can we achieve our BEV model to drive on a higher gross profit margin compared to the industry?
Take this question, this John. And as I just mentioned in the early question, the current gross margin has reflect the effort from our supply chain team, and we keep improving on the BOM side and to help us to improve our gross margin to the 25% design gross margin continuously. And for the BEV, I think every time we launch a new product, we will welcome some question about the margin. And because there are some poor product offering in the market, but we still want to reinforce our statement that the product, the gross margin was from the first day you define your customer and you define your product. So, what we want to say is that we overall, we want to keep 25% for the whole company with different products offering. Yeah. Thank you.
好的，我的第二个问题是关于自行驾驶。那公司也是规划到年底会释放重生V到100座城市，整个目标跟近期相比还是比较激进的。我们目前看是否还是有比较大的一个挑战？以及说可能到100座城市它的整个的一个形式是说可能内测还是说更大范围的一个商业化落地？然后能否再介绍一下我们在自行驾驶方面可能比较突出一些能力，以致说我们实现这个比较有挑战的目标？ My second question is about autonomous driving. We plan to release CTOP, NOA function to 100 cities by the end of this year, which is very aggressive target. Is there any great challenge as you can see at present? So, can you share more about our outstanding capabilities in different aspects of our autonomous driving to support us in achieving such a challenging target?
我是马东辉，我来回答这个问题。首先的话，我们还是会分批来进行开放，并不会的话在今年年底的话全量进行开放。但是我们的目标并没有改变，还是要做到的话100座城市，来实现的话城市的话NOA。那相比的话，这个竞争对手，我们在这个感知包含的话归功算法方面，我们认为我们是这个有优势的，一方面我们是通过创新的NPN， 包含就是说这个 TNN 网络，那我们可以的话这个实时去感知复杂的话道路的结构，然后通过的话 Occupancy 的话网络识别通用的话障碍物。那相比的话这个竞争对手而言，我们认为最大的优势就在于说我们拥有的最大的智能驾驶的车队，包含国内最多的这个训练的话里程的数据，这样的话我们可以实现数据算法，然后到整个的话这样的一个不断的一个迭代，这是我们的一个绝对优势。
As we mentioned earlier, we're still planning to release City NOA and Commute NOA in batches, as opposed to releasing all the cities in one go. And we're on track to delivering City NOA to 100 cities by the end of this year. In terms of technical capabilities, we think we have advantages in both perception and planning. On the perception side, we have this innovative neural prior network and also traffic end-to-end network to predict traffic light intentions using this end-to-end model. All of this going to enhance our BEV model, which can perceive or sense the complex road structure information in real time and understand traffic rules. And also using occupancy network, we're able to recognize general obstacles on the driver's route. On the planning side, we're utilizing imitation learning algorithms, which learns from a lot of human driver behavior and decisions to make sure our City NOA can stay safe on track and also follow traffic rules and at the same time drive very similar to human behavior. We have the biggest autopilot or NOA training testing fleet in China, and also have the most training mileage, as well as a significant reserve of cloud-side computing power, which we believe will be our absolute competitive advantage.
嗯，好的，好的，谢谢，没有其他问题，非常感谢。
Next question comes from Ming Junli with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
管理层您好，我是美银证券的Ming。那这边就两个问题。那第一个问题是关于这个咱们的店，那因为到七月份的话，我们现在已经有超过大概330家店，然后也覆盖超过120座城市哦。那我注意到就是说，其实如果以我们销量来讲，其实我们同店的销售其实一直不断在进步。那想了解一下，就是说李湘总，您觉得我们跟其他的品牌来比的话，您觉得我们哪一些 地方是我们这个店的这个运营效率更好了，因为其实当然从IPO开始就很好，但是已经开了三百多家店，还是这个很这效率还是非常好，所以想了解一下。那您另外觉得就是说，我们如果做到2024年或25年的话，我们目标希望能够到多少家店，然后可以覆盖多少个城市？那以我们品牌比较高端的话，您觉得大概最低的话会下沉到 哪一类城市？那最后就是想也想了解一下，您觉得我们这个店的运营方面来讲，还有什么地方您觉得是您之后觉得可以有空间可以就继续改善的地方？那我翻译一下问题。 So my first question is regarding your sales channel. So right now you have more than 330 retail stores and cover more than 120 cities. So in terms of your long-term goal, how many stores and how many cities do you want to cover? Besides that, could you also share what is the successful part of your sales channel management, and also in what area do you want to improve, if there is any?
我来回答哈，我觉得第一个，然后好的产品和好的销售渠道，好的自营销售渠道，这两个是相辅相成的。 缺一不可。对，那我们内部的话，然后有一个对自己要求比较高的指标，就是然后营业6个月以上的店面，然后要实现，然后每个店每月，然后完成，然后就平均完成100辆以上的这个订单量。对，所以呢，我们既然后看好本店的效率，也不会其实过于短期来忽视了其实长期的整个店面的建设和投资。对，那我觉得 再往后看2024年、2025年，我们最重要的是会有多款车型推向市场。对，所以呢，然后在基于这样的一个跟之前显著的不同的前提下，我们还是会去开更多的店。其实目前开店的这些方式啊、逻辑啊，还有用户群啊，其实没有什么特别的奥秘。对，因为像奔驰、宝马、奥迪这样的花品牌，已经把应该下探到什么样的级别的城市，应该开多少家店，其实已经验证的非常清楚了。所以呢， 在这方面，我们不需要重新造轮子、重新发明。其实我们基本上就是遵循奔驰、宝马、奥迪的开店数量和开店逻辑，对，来实现我们销量的支撑。
On stores, we have a firm belief that good products and good channel work in tandem. We can't live without either of them. A metric we use internally is for a mature store which has been operating for 6 months. We think getting over 100 orders per month is a pretty healthy level of operating efficiency. But with that said, we'll still focus on not only short-term sales per store, but also long-term, we'll be looking into investing in more stores and expanding our sales network. By 2025, we'll by then have many models and much greater sales than today. So we are still committed to opening more stores and covering more cities, covering more users. And we really think there's not much secret sauce in terms of where to open stores and how the stores should look like, because Mercedes, BMW, and Audi have, all of them have verified a very successful model in terms of user coverage and city coverage. So we don't really need to reinvent the wheels here. Our plan is really in the next few years to continue to expand to lower tier cities and cover more users just following their footsteps so that we can support our sales healthily by 2025.
So my second question is regarding your charging network. So do you have any plan regarding your expansion target? What's your potential capex? Will you build the charging station by yourself, or you mainly let the third party to build and operate? Will all of those charging stations be 5C grade, or some will be a lower grade? 谢谢.
Hi. 我是李想，然后2023年我们将完成超过300个，然后高速的超充站的建设，然后主要覆盖长三角大湾区京津冀和成渝四大经济带。在2025年，我们的超充站将这个建设超过3000家，对，然后3000座，然后覆盖超过90%的，然后这个高速路里程和主要的城市。哎，那我觉得我们会在然后保证健康的运营和自由现金流的前提下，然后完成充电。 充电桩的布局，因为这个对我们的财务压力还是可以完全可以承受的。对，那我们的整个的经营策略，然后就是在高速上，我们的超充站都是自建自营的。对，然后城市里我们会选择和代理商的模式来加速整个城市的布局。
We're still on track to rolling out 300 supercharging stations by the end of this year. And in 2023, our charging stations by the end of this year will cover mainly the four economic zones, which includes the Tianjin-Beijing-Hebei area, the Yangtze River Delta area, and the Guangdong Bay area, as well as the Chengdu-Chongqing area. And by 2025, we will have built 3,000 HPC charging stations, which will cover over 90% of all of the highway mileage, as well as the major cities in China. We will make sure to finish, achieve that goal, of course, with operating efficiency as well as a healthy free cash flow in mind. And so far, we believe the financial burden is totally manageable. All of our highway HPC stations will be built and operated in-house, and all the city stations will be working with a franchise model so that to accelerate the expansion of our charging stations.
谢谢李向总。
Our next question will come from Yu Kingding with HSBC. Please go ahead.
好的，感谢管理层。我有两个问题啊。第一个是费用管控。 公司的这个 OPEX 的管理水平非常优秀，堪比19年特斯拉同量级的这个水平。那上半年研发的 run rate 也就是花了全年的 30% guidance 的 30% 到 40%。那么现在我们可以结构性的调低研发和费用指引吗？还是说我们自动驾驶下半年扩展70%需要更大力度的研发和费用投入？然后第二个问题是关于走出舒适区，我们目前在这个大型家用 30 万以上的区间还是相当领先的。 那我们如果明年潜在的这个产品要投放在20到30万元的这个价格区间，目前看起来这个竞争非常激烈，也有很多现有的车型。那我们怎么去差异化，以及最大限度的保持我们相当于等同于现有的这个产品品类的这个竞争力？ I got two questions. The first is on the OPEC management. The company's OPEC management has been quite good, especially in the first half. The R&D run rate is roughly 30-40% of the full year guidance. So can we structurally revising down the guidance on R&D and SG&A, or that suggests in the second half when we roll out an OA in 100 cities, that would require more intensity in terms of R&D and SG&A? And the second question is about breaking out into our current dominating zone. We're currently quite dominant in the big size, the family utility SUV at the pricing category above 300K. But in the future, we'll probably have model launch in a pricing category between 200K to 300K. Currently, we're seeing a very intense competition and many new model supply over there. So how do we potentially differentiate over there and maximize the volume impact that we currently see in our dominating zone?
Hi, I will take the R&D question first. We will continue to invest in the R&D for autonomous drive, either for autonomous driving or other areas that we believe is necessary. We still want to keep our full year R&D expenses above 10 billion RMB. Thank you.
行，那第二个问题是，然后这个我们对 L6 的，然后综合产品力还是非常有信心的。我们相信 L6 会成为理想 L 系列里边单月销量最高的车型。对，然后我觉得最关键的一点，其实还是坚持我们的竞争力，其实它一定是同价位家庭用户绝对首选的产品。
We're very confident on the overall product leadership of the L6. We believe that L6 will become the best-selling product across the L lineup. We will continue to invest in its competitiveness, and we believe it will be the product of choice in its price range for family users.
好，谢谢。
As we are reaching the end of our conference call, now I'd like to turn the call back over to the company for closing remarks. Ms. Janet Chang, please go ahead.
Thank you once again for joining us today. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact Li Auto's investor relations team. You may disconnect your line. Thank you.